You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Salem After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Salem After Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Salem After Show right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Season 1, Episode 12, Ashes, Ashes. And as always, I'm your host, Bobby DeMuro, with my lovely pair of grouping, I guess I should say, of co-hosts, Marissa Serafini next to me.
Hello.
And across the table, the wonderful Miss Jessie Owen and running for mayor, Anna Koppel.
Boys.
Now, we've got a special guest today, guys. Very excited to introduce her. She appears as Dolly on Salem. It is the wonderful Miss Sammy Hanratty. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
I know, and I know you had a big episode today that we are going to talk about. I can't wait till I get into this and get into, because you had a very emotional scene with Mercy, with Elise Everly.
Yes.
So let's just jump right into that first. Before we talk about the episode, talk a little bit about your experience in Shreveport, filming Salem. I mean, you talk very highly about this stuff. Was it as fun as it seems?
Well, it's been such a fun ride. Like, I mean, I just thought I was going to be in one episode, a little, you know, guest star. And I'm really happy that I've been able to be a part of the show for so long. And it's really, it's just such a cool show. It's like, it, I mean, we have an entire set built in Shreveport that is just amazing. It's everything that you see in the show. It's actually like, it's not in a, some of it's on a stage, but we also have in the middle of nowhere a town that they built, our own little Salem. So yeah.
Now, you know, we need to collectively chastise you, because you and those other girls, man, you guys, you're coming together. You killed a man already in this in this season.
The man.
You killed a guy. Yes, you're all following Mercy Lewis. Did mom and dad ever say, hey, you probably shouldn't do this in real life?
You know, my parents have tried to, like, you steer me this straight. Don't kill dudes. Like, don't, you know, don't tear people's arms off. Like, you know, so they've really humbled me to not to do that.
That's good.
And you mentioned you thought it was going to be a one episode kind of thing or whatever, and it's obviously grown into a lot more than that.
Right.
What was that conversation like with writers, creators, whomever? Did they have you for an episode and kind of say, we really like this storyline, come back?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, when I came for the first episode, found out that I was going to be coming back, and I was like, what am I going to be doing? But they're super secretive, so I'm like, what am I going to be doing? What am I going to do? What am I gonna? And they still don't say anything. And so I got the script for the next episode, and I was like, oh, yeah. So I was excited, and that was the bundling episode where I bundled with the boy, and all that jazz went down, and that was awesome. And I talked to one of the writers and creators, Adam, and he was like, there's going to be some fun stuff for you this season. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm so excited.
We had a lot to say about that bundling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was something.
It's interesting, right? It's interesting that that kind of stuff ever happens. It's kind of weird.
Do you have more information about the bundling? Because we kind of looked some stuff up online, but do you have some more background about bundling?
I mean, just as much as, like, I did, I guess, with, like, you sew each other and the parents sew you in the bag. It's just so creepy to me that they do that, and you're supposed to, you know, be able to touch each other, and the parents are sitting there and watching you. It's just, the whole thing is just extremely awkward and creepy, which works so well with the show because it was so fun. But yeah, it was so odd too, because, you know, then the hands start coming up and grabbing me when I was in the bed. And we actually had, you know, two of the stand-ins. The girls there are amazing. They're so great. And they, I wasn't really comfortable with, like, some dudes grabbing me. So they're like, oh, we'll just do it. So they got under the bed, and they're real people grabbing me in the scene. And so that was, that was fun.
Did you, we do a lot of news and gossip on here about other actors, about Xander Berkeley, Shane West, a couple other people, and how they did or did not study the history of the Salem witch trials before going on the show. Have you done any history study, or are you just kind of playing the character in your own maybe unique way for the show?
Well, actually, I when I originally read the script, I actually originally auditioned for Anne Hale. And so when I first found out about Salem, I read the script and I was really excited. And so I did a little bit of research about the Salem witch trials just because I also wanted to be able to get down the how they spoke. You know, everything is very, like, precise when it comes to our show. So just the way, you know, like, you're a Puritan, so you stand up straight, you're respectful to your elders, you know, things like that. So, so yeah, and I, like, like I said, I read the original pilot and I fell in love, so...
I'm so glad that you brought up how you speak, because we've talked about that a lot on here, and I think I probably have had the most issues with it. I would you guys agree? And how do you feel about it? Because they take some dramatic license, I guess, and that's fine. But sometimes, like, John will say, will just like yell Jesus Christ as sort of. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I that's actually one of my favorite parts is the first episode when he's like Jesus like that. It's like, it's so great. No, you know what I like is that everybody kind of does speak differently. Like each character, I mean, obviously Mary, like with her very proper British accent, you know, and then like you have John, who's very different, but he also grew up different. So each person, like in Salem, it depends on how they were raised, what class they are, what, you know. So like for me, for the beginning of it, I was more proper with when I first come to see Mercy. I'm more of the proper girl, like coming to find out about the witches. And then as time goes on, I mean, my mom kills herself, or Mercy kills my mom, and kind of like slowly, you know, you see this episode and I'm in a cape instead of my usual like proper wear, and it's just it's a little bit different. And that's one of my favorite things too about Cotton. It has completely changed from the first episode to now. And they, you know, I was talking to the wardrobe, and they were talking about how, yeah, like even the wardrobe has changed so much, and his hair, and how he's more of like a calmed down from what he used to be, because he used to be more like his dad.
Right, and you know, the wardrobe and even that really reflects their behaviors and the personalities throughout their character development and their character arcs throughout the season.
Yeah, even with Elise, you know, Elise's character, where she first started off, and I mean, she was in clothes, like, I remember coming to set, and she was all pretty looking, and she was in, you know, Mary's wardrobe, and she's like, oh my gosh, I get to look so good, because she's used to wearing, like, things that she threw up blood all over, or like, you know, the cage that we like to take her around in, so, yeah, the wardrobe definitely plays a lot in the show.
I love it. Well, let's get to recapping the show right now. I know we're going to have a million questions for you while we do it, because you factor into a couple very important scenes on this episode, but let's start, before we get there, and before we get to kind of Mary and Mercy and your whole scene with Dolly, let's start with John Alden today, guys. We learned a lot about John's background. Big surprise to us. And I think finally, I don't know, speaking as fans, we were finally excited to actually learn about John. Y'all probably knew a little bit more about him than we did.
No, I don't know anything. Honestly, what you guys see is as much as I know, unfortunately.
So. I guess real quick, do you get the entire script or do you just get your scenes?
I get the entire script.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
If you have an extra copy of the next week's episode, just throw it along here. But let's talk about John. So John is now a witch, incorrectly so, of course, according to Increase. But Increase is persecuting John pretty hard, and we see this Increase versus Cotton fight, and you talk about how much Cotton's changed. Episode 1, he never would have stood up to Increase had he had to do that with that personality. And by episode 12, he is standing up. So I don't know about you guys. I am very proud of Cotton for what he's doing in this episode.
I agree. I love how Cotton's really, you know, standing up and going up against Increase out of one of the most scariest people in town now. But the fact that the thing that really bothered me is that how John wasn't standing up for himself. I mean, I'm sure you're on trial, you're not really allowed to speak in certain situations, but knowing that John was innocent, but also somewhat guilty towards some of the situations that we're obviously bringing up, the whole background with the Indians. I love how, and it was interesting how he wasn't really fighting for himself, and that kind of bothered me.
But well, it, he, sorry,
go ahead.
He also said last week how he was done fighting. Like, what's the point of fighting? He's going to die anyway.
I'm sure he feels defeated. Mary has refused to say that she loves him too up until now. He's fighting for people that don't want to fight with him. He's tired. I think this is, he just feels defeated, and Yeah, like he said, what's the point? He's done.
But the thing is, like, yeah, he might be tired, but it doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy who would just give up.
I think because he's killed so many people now, we learned so much about his past now, he's had such a horrible past and such a real past, he's kind of at the point where, like, if this is how it's going to end, it's going to end anyways. I'm not scared. And it's not that I'm giving up, but it is a fatalistic thing to say. I'm not scared anymore. I've seen a lot of bad parts of life. Whatever you can do to me is not bad enough. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And part of it is John is so level-headed compared to everybody else in town. Everybody's emotional or crazy or whatever. And John is so level-headed that I think somebody mentioned this last week on the show. It's the idea of not wanting to create more hysteria. So if he just shuts up and takes it, as bad as that may be, they're going to find a reason to kill him anyways. And if he just shuts up and takes it and says, maybe this will calm down the hysteria. If I am the witch, maybe all this will end. It won't, of course.
Right.
But...
Well, we also talked about this in the first episode with Giles. And in real life, if you even speak to deny whether or not you're a witch, then something happens with your property, right?
Yes.
If you don't say anything, then the property goes to your family. But if you start to deny that you're a witch, then...
It's just a criminal thing. If in that time period in American history, if you pled guilty or innocent and you're found guilty, your property then becomes party of the state. And if you don't plead anything, your property retains in your family and it can be passed down or whatever. Yeah.
But John doesn't have any family.
Well, that we know of.
That we know of, yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Are you trying to say he has an unborn child?
I don't know. Remember that kid that wouldn't do any talking? Maybe that's John's... I'm kidding. That's a prediction we won't even make. but what about Increase now? Because he does the same old thing, and we'll get to the girls in a second with him. But Increase does the same old thing, very vicious. And the interesting scene for me was Increase talking about the witch in Germany and that old world witch and what he's had to do before. And I know that he said that witch took the form of a six-year-old girl, but I knew it was the witch and whatever. He strangled a little kid. On its face is what he did. He strangled a little kid. He's a bad dude.
I just feel like he could be wrong. Like, what? Yeah. It's like he's basically saying, hey, I killed this girl because she was a witch. But he doesn't know she was a witch. And I really want a better explanation for his hands. Like, really? You went into hell? Did you?
So you're not buying what Increase is selling?
I'm not. Because, I mean, if... I don't know. He doesn't have that much proof now. Like, it's just all what he thinks. And, you know, like the Giles Corey, he killed him. He wasn't a witch. He's accusing John. Like, it's just he's wrong so many times that it's, like, really? How do you know you weren't wrong then?
Sammy, so are you definitely not Team Increase? Having seen him kill all your friends now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I have a place in my heart. I'm just kidding. No, I don't. No, I remember coming on set, you know, the scene where I come up through the window and I see all my friends and he's, like, you know, hitting the head thing. Anyways, I came on set and I'm looking at all the instruments that he has, you know, just you know, it's not that creepy because I have all the crew next to me, but there's still just this, like, it's just this cold chill that you get when you see the tools that, like, he uses up close and personal. It is terrifying, absolutely terrifying, and he does an amazing job with being terrifying, you know. He just and just with how he just believes that he's so right. That part creeps me out, I think, the most, you know, is because it's like it's mentally just like a crazy person, and that freaks me out.
Tell me that
so adamant with him. And also another thing, just to go back to the story with the little girl, that's pretty much like a foreshadowing me, like, hey, in the past I killed this little girl, but had no qualms about it because I believed that she was an instrument of the devil. And then that was just a foreshadowing of what he was going to do to the other girls. He has no problem killing anyone, really.
Tell me that Stephen Lang in real life is much nicer than Increase Mather.
Yes. Please. Everybody on set is extremely nice. They are. And it's super fun because, like, a lot of sets, you know, you work and then you, like, if they call lunch, you go get lunch and you go back to your trailers. Whereas pretty much every time we all sit down and eat together and, like, hang out and talk, and it's, I mean, everyone is not Janet's not like Mary, and, you know, like, Elise is not like Mercy, and everyone's got their own personalities, but a much kinder way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a feeling, having seen all the Twitter pictures, the Instagram pictures that people are posting, I think you guys like each other better than
But we
you
love
do
it so much. As the gorier it is, the more fun it is to take a selfie, right?
Of course.
Hashtag Salem selfie.
I have the best videos with the girls and their burns and me, like, hanging out with them. And I'm like, who's that lady? And you just, like, I have some good videos of them.
Were you there on set when Mercy threw up blood? Oliver, was it Bridget Lewis that she threw up?
Over Bridget Bishop.
Bridget Bishop.
Yeah. I was not. No. Aww. And I did not expect that, to watch that. And, I mean, I knew that certain things were going to happen, but when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, ew. Literally my reaction. And then I texted her. I was like, ew.
About this thing now, the other thing about Increase today that interested me, when he's testifying, making the case against John Alden, he also drops the bomb that John Alden has been in Mary's bedroom. Her boudoir, I believe he said, to be proper, has been in Mary's bedroom and has done these, you know, not done inappropriate things, but sort of suggested that there were inappropriate things going on. So, Increase, I don't remember, who did he say was the witness who said this? It was one of Mary's servants? It was Isaac. Okay. Okay, so that's why Isaac is so guilty later, or part of the reason why he's so guilty later, perhaps.
He's always guilty. Poor Isaac. He always has something to be guilty for.
He's from the first scene of episode one.
the first tear he ever shed, it was over something.
Has Isaac always been one of Mary's servants? Because I thought she just asked him to take Mr. Sibley into town.
I got the feeling that he was more of an informal servant in the sense that because he's not the smartest guy, that he kind of helps out around town and does odd jobs. And Mary has him for, like, messenger stuff and odd jobs. So he may not be a specific servant. Like, Tituba would have been a servant for her. But he's more of, like, a contractor, I guess you would say.
I would say friend, because also during their scene tonight, it sounded like Mary and Isaac were more friends, that like they knew each other for a long time. So they're more of like Isaac is a helper, but he does it as a friend, not just as in another employee.
Because she's Magic Mary.
I was just going to say that.
Magic Mary.
Magic Mary.
But even the relationship, it shows it's more intimate. It's a closer relationship than just a working employer to employee.
Yeah, and you can tell how much love they have for each other from the first scene when you just see her reaction with how, you know, what's going on with the fornicator and the burn and stuff like that. No, I love their relationship. It's like when you see her, like, truly being just sweet to somebody.
And that's the thing. Even though he's so much lower in social class, in intelligence, in whatever than her, it's not that she takes pity on him. Because that would be easy to do, and you could definitely find that if you wanted to. But he's more of an equal. It's like a brother-sister type thing almost. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But she does take advantage of him.
Oh, 100%.
Totally. She does for everyone. Yeah.
That's Magic Mary. Let's talk Increase now, dropping the bomb about John taking up with the Indians with the Mohawk, and then doing all that he did to the militia. So I'll open it up to you guys, because Cotton is very black and white and always has been and continues to be a little black and white. And John says flat out, nothing but gray in the world. You Puritans think it's all black and white, which is a great line. But knowing John's backstory now, do we condemn him for being evil, you guys? Or do we say, it's gray, it's not black and white. I understand why you did what you did, and I may not condone it, but we don't need to murder you for doing what you did to the militia.
I think it's gray area.
It's definitely gray. Knowing his actions and the reasoning behind why he killed his own people, the own militia, I mean, yes, that was still a bad thing, and it's against, obviously, the wrong people, because it is his people, but knowing his intentions, they were good, because it was for someone that he cared about, like a family that he grew to know and love. So, I mean, it is very, very great, because he's still guilty, but it was for the right reasons. I mean, the end doesn't justify the means, unfortunately, though.
Yeah, and it's extremely gray, because it was just, I mean, let's face it, it was a rageful, murderous rampage that he went on.
Vengeful, very.
Yeah, it was full of revenge.
Axes were going into the back of skulls.
Yeah, that's what happened. And it continued on recently, when he saw the last of the militia that he didn't get. So he held on. So there's still, like, hatred in his heart that he holds on to. So I don't know. I mean, I get it, but there's a lot of gray.
See, the thing to me is the recent thing makes the point. I don't know about y'all, but the recent thing makes the point to me that this was a very specific revenge for John. And it wasn't kill all people, kill a bunch of people, kill whenever you feel like it. But it was a specific task. I'm going to kill this militia. Then I'm going to hold on to this one dude who I didn't kill, and now that I killed him, it's over. And I'm not going to kill anybody else, and I'm not an evil guy. I was doing a task. Now, murder may not be the best way to achieve it, but I think I don't think there's any danger of him ever killing anybody again, save something weird happening in the future.
Well, but just to play devil's advocate here, nobody was there when that village was taken out. Maybe it was two people from the militia who took out that whole village, and then they took out the whole militia. So, and we don't really know. Maybe he did kill innocent people. So,
but had the whole militia been there, they would have killed. They wouldn't have been traitors. Like,
yeah, it could have been two rogue agents, though. I mean, I know we're thinking too much into it, but you're right. It could have been two rogue people. I think John takes the eye that if you were part of the militia, you condone the militia's activities. So I'm going to take out the whole militia, including this last dude. See you later. Everybody's dead. Beef squashed. Nothing more. I don't know.
Like I said, a lot of gray.
The thing is, he can't kill anybody else because he's in prison. Or, well, he may not be in prison based on the end of the show. But he was in prison for much of the episode, so he's probably not going to kill too many other people.
Before we move on too further, I want to go back to Increase shutting down the trial as soon as Cotton brought out that torture instrument.
Right.
I feel like that was just another bully tactic. We talked last week about how he can be a bully, and if he's made to look wrong... You know, the second people started to go, whoa, you know, who is this guy? He's like, you know, we'll do this once tempers cool down. We'll shut this down right now.
Did you see Cotton's face when he brought out the instrument? He opened it up, he gave it to Increase, and then he had the bloody. Did you see that?
Yeah. Bloody so time. Good.
He was so proud of himself.
Oh yeah.
There's some really, really funny Cotton moments in really serious places, and he provides a little levity. That was one of them, like a couple weeks ago when he's drunk in the tree in the forest. Yeah, he throws his boot and stuff like that.
Earth underneath his feet.
There's a lot of Cotton, a lot of drunk. This one wasn't drunk, but a lot of levity from Cotton in very, very serious situations. And that was one of them. You're right, though. And nobody ever calls Increase on anything because they're so terrified of him. And he bullies people he can bully. Like the like the girls. The girls can't do anything to him, so he bullies them around. He can push Mary around a little bit because she's intimidated by him. And when an equal steps up to Increase, he wilts away.
Right. And if you notice, the girls are cleaned up when they're in the church because he cleans them up so that people don't know all the torture that they went through.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it's interesting how when Cotton was, you know, going against this Increase and showed all that and everyone was getting, you know, anxious about it. It shows like how close that Cotton can actually get to taking down his father. If Increase didn't stop that court, I mean, he didn't really deny that he was guilty of using those tools against the woman and the torture. So it shows that he was guilty. He was trying to like calm down everybody before it got out of hand. But it shows that Cotton does have the potential to taking down Increase.
Yeah, and he was, you know, we talked last week that he's really, that Cotton is really in his comfort zone, and he was really using his book smarts and applying logic. You know, he figured out, hey, look, there's an apple that's used in every grand rite, so maybe it doesn't just mean evil, it also means apple, and it means open. So he was really actually using his brain, which... he needs with his father.
Using his brain and, last point on Cotton, using his hands. How about examining Anne for being a witch?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh boy, was he wrong.
So wrong.
Why was he so nervous about doing it, though? Is it just because he didn't have any feelings for Anne, obviously.
He just
so
came
it's just...
on to her last week.
But I mean, how sincere...
I mean, he really misses his girlfriend.
Well,
so.
We know that. We know. Let's not talk about Gloriana. You're going to get me crying if we talk about Gloriana anymore.
But I think it shows that maybe Cotton just has a really high level of respect for Anne and really just didn't want to touch and examine her in that way, even though she was giving him permission to. So it could have just been like genuine uncomfortability while doing it.
What's crazy to me is how... You know, obviously Anne just found out she's a witch, but like it's like Cotton did something. As soon as he touched her a certain way, it's like it came out. It's like is that the mark of the devil?
I think this is just my point of view on it, but I'm not sure that Anne realized that happened. When her eyes went red, when the snake tongue came out, I think that was a physiological, supernatural response to what Cotton was doing by the devil or the witch or whatever inside her. And because Anne hasn't realized it yet, because her soul has been deeded by somebody else, I think she may not have actually realized that was happening. She came scared and wanting to be examined and didn't realize that that's what would happen with the examination. I don't know.
I don't think Anne was aware of that either, but it seemed like it was on the level of sexual... that she was responding in that way, and the devil came out in that way. that it was more of a sexual response than actual.
You're also not touched like that, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen to her, you know what I mean? That's not, like, something that she's used to feeling or anything like that. I don't know, that's, I'm just saying.
Only in John Alden's dreams.
Yeah. But it just reminds me of our other show, Penny Dreadful.
I wrote that down, literally.
There you go. But, you know, the devil coming out in sexual responsiveness actions and stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to, Sammy, what I know you've been waiting to talk about, which is this whole Mary Mercy issue, because you're going to come up in this. And I guess the first thing, before we break down some of these scenes and whatever, the scene Dolly has with Mercy in the woods, you're confronting her about, you know, you said that girls wouldn't hang, the girls are hanging, what's going on? You were both incredibly emotional on this scene, and I'm always interested in, you always talk about how much fun you have on set, you guys are all having fun. What do you do? How do you prep to get to that emotional level on your own? Like, what's the work that you put in to get there emotionally?
You know, it's hard because, like, for that scene, I think I had, like, 10 minutes before to prepare, or,
wow,
like, 5 minutes before. And we're in Shreveport, and it's hot, and it's, like, you know, I'm also terrified because there's snakes, like, everywhere. There's, like, wild snakes roaming around everywhere. And so I think the adrenaline rush between that and really just, I'm not going to lie, I think it was the night before, it was the hanging scene, and it was all the girls, and I was bawling my eyes out saying goodbye to them, because, I mean, you never know what could happen in the show. They could come back, but all I know for right now is I'm kind of the only one that's alive, and those are the girls that I have worked with since. I am a very emotional person, so when I say goodbye to somebody that I really care about, I can't help but cry. And so, just using that and thinking of that happening to me, it's very easy for me to easily break down and start crying. And working with Elise also is just, she's honestly amazing. Just like one of the best actresses in the world. And just working with her and going over it again and again and again. And also, like, we like to talk about it and how would we do this and how should we do that, or how should we move, or, you know, things like that. We really like to break it down together. And so, I think it kind of came pretty natural.
It sounds natural. It sounds like that was a real emotion. You're saying goodbye to your friends. It was like, yeah, a loss of your friends.
And it was also one of the first times, like, my character would have spoken to Mercy like that, you know, because it was like kind of an almost like you promised, you know, it was like a really intense thing. And so that was a little hard for me because I didn't know how far to go with that. You know, I would never speak to her in a mean way. Originally, it was actually written a bit differently, where I talk poorly about Mary, and Mercy, like, slaps me, and, like, it was originally it was a little bit, like, more intense than what it turned out to be, which Elise and I were like, aw, like, we really wanted you to slap me.
See, I knew
yeah,
it. Mercy's crazy.
She,
we, like,
yeah. I know, we love the wild, the crazier it gets, the more fun it is, I guess. I've already been slapped once in the show, so I guess enough for me.
Don't listen. Stay away from Mercy. Don't come to her again, because she's killed a million people already. That girl's crazy.
No, are you kidding? This is like, her and I are going to start working together. This will be fun. Ooh,
she has to bring the army of children, yeah, and poor people.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Get ready for season two.
Yeah, that army of children. I'm interested to see what those people look like.
Yeah, same.
So it was a night shoot. I feel like you have so many answers that bring out so many more questions in me, but it's interesting to see. You're probably in the right profession, first off, if you can get emotional that quickly and do it. You're probably doing the right thing. How much leeway do you have? You mentioned you read the scene, you and Elise kind of talked it out. This is what we want to do, how we want to move. Does the director kind of give you that much leeway? Is it scripted down to the movement, or is it kind of like, we'll film it, you make it happen?
I mean, the movement is definitely on there. It's one of the sets that you can really just talk about how you would see it, you know? And we have a different director almost every week. So the director for this episode, I mean, every director's been super cool and just, like, you know, especially coming in for one of the first times for an episode, they want to know, you know, how do you feel about your character? We really talk about things, which makes it a lot easier. And Elise and I, once we start talking, we'll, you know, put our input in and then always take in whatever somebody else has to say. And And so, yeah, it's definitely a talking set, which is good. It's not like, okay, you're going to do this, 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 and this, and you're like, okay. You know?
How many takes to do that scene in the woods, the emotional scene, do you remember?
It probably took about an hour to do the entire scene.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty quick.
Yeah.
Depending, like, on all the angles that we did, and especially down in the crag, that, you know, we have the camera angles down there and stuff. It probably took about an hour to get all set up and stuff, so it was pretty quick.
If you three were Dolly, would you have stood up to Mercy like that?
Absolutely. I mean, well, we see Mercy making the promises that all these things that she's going to do and she's going to protect and all that. And, like, she built this clan to protect, and she didn't follow through. So, I mean, your actions were completely justified.
Yeah, it's not even necessarily standing up so much as, like, I think going right in, like, desperation. Like, what is happening? You said, like, what's going to go on now? Am I safe? Like, so I think...
Yeah.
You can't help. It's like a hysterical moment and so emotional.
And those are your friends.
Right.
That literally died because you couldn't keep a promise.
Yeah.
And that's vintage Mercy to me. She's so insane in everything that she does. And this was another example with you is you come to her desperate and confronting and emotional. And she's like happy. She's like, no, this is what's going to happen next. Go get all the little kids and whatever. We're going to have some fun. Yeah. You're like, dude, Mercy, you're insane.
It's definitely like a... I don't know. She switches into these modes, and that's why I like love. I honestly, Mercy's like one of the coolest characters ever because she has changed so much, and she goes in each episode. She's like going back and forth with who she is and what's going on, and it's just so cool to watch Elise like take that on because to me she does Mercy justice. You know what I mean? She, like, does... She is Mercy, you know?
Well, Sammy, I will admit to you, and these three already know, and I'll admit to the audience, that in week one or two, I can't remember what it was, we did predictions. And my prediction early on was when she was still hanging in all these problems, I was like, Mercy's done. She's going to die. We're going to move on. That couldn't have been further from the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
I could not have been more wrong.
No, you couldn't have.
She's going to factor huge into season two.
Yeah, and also we see because... It was really Mary that didn't really protect all the girls, too. And then we see Mercy be like, hey, if Mary couldn't do that, I'm going to step up and be the leader. I'm going to make everyone, you know, get everyone, and I'll be the protector and all of it. Because, and by extension, it was Mary that couldn't protect the girls.
Right.
She is stepping into a maternal role. She says, I'll be your mother. And I think that's really what she was looking for from Mary in the beginning.
The new queen of the night.
Yeah. But no, well, when she was talking to the dead that hadn't been couldn't be buried,
right.
Say I'll be your mother, and when she was first taken in by Mary, I think she really responded to Mary's sort of nurturing, and now she's stepping into that role, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, yeah, she's still she's still a girl, and so yeah, especially when her and Mary first started with their little. Relationship when you think that Mary's gonna kill her but she doesn't really kill her and she turns into a witch. Yeah, that's that part. No, they definitely have like a mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how Mercy changes though, because we've talked about Mercy's quote-unquote gang, all the girls. You're the only one left, so now that she doesn't have strength in numbers anymore, which I know five wasn't a ton, but losing three or four is big, so now that she only has one left, what happens?
Dolly's gonna go gather.
I have,
second command.
I'm like, I have all my predictions, but I'm nervous to say any in case they're right, and then the writers are like, "What? How'd you know?"
Maybe they'll watch it and get ideas. They haven't written one way, and they'll say, "You know what? I kind of like what Sammy said. Let's rewrite episode whatever."
Reshoot.
Well, yeah, and I think I was originally supposed to die as well because I met with. The director for that episode, which I wasn't in last episode when the girls are getting tortured and they first get like captured and stuff. I wasn't in that, and I originally was supposed to be. And I was kind of bummed because I was like, I want to get tortured. But then I was talking to Adam, and he was like, well, if you get tortured, then you get killed. And I was like, oh, I don't want to get killed. He was like, yeah, you're not going to get killed. So that made me – I felt pretty good about that.
They're just keeping you around. Maybe two things – one or two things going to happen. You're going to rise to some level of power in season two. I guess we can predict that later. Or you're going to come to a very gruesome death a couple episodes from now.
You know, I kind of would like either one. I really would. If it's something meaty and crazy and weird, I would love to do it. I just want to die because, like, I want to continue doing the show, though. So it's like, Awesome.
I want to talk a lot about that, actually. But before we get there, the last thing I want to talk about in the episode today is Mary, I think we can all agree, was obviously dreamwalking in the prison with John, even though we never saw her go into the dreamwalking thing in the first place. Yeah. But she appears in the prison with John and then taking him to the woods, which looked to be the similar woods where Anne went with the mask, which would make sense.
Right.
And it was a completely different time of day, too.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when did this actually happen? Who knows?
So she never said anything. I was hoping the last word that Mary would say at the very end of the episode was just one word, run.
Hmm. Okay.
And she never said anything.
It was originally something different.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was, I believe, maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it was that he says, you're a witch, and then, like, it ends, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's more suspenseful this way. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it's facial reactions kind of imply that he now knows that Mary's a witch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I know. I think you're right, though. If it was a line like that, I think it's better to not say anything.
Yeah. Well, and his face is priceless. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God.
Sold.
You know, whenever Mary was sleep or dreamwalking, you know, it showed her body, right? So their bodies are still in the prison, right?
No, her body would still be, like, in her bed. She starts dreamwalking in the bed or wherever she was, like she did last time. And then her body goes to the prison with John, and then it transfers one more time to that forest.
So John is not in the prison.
I guess we'll find out.
You have to wait until next week.
See, I equate dreamwalking more as astral projection, where you can move your mind and your consciousness, but not your body. But then this actually moving her body and John's body to an actual different location, that was more of a transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that the transportation is possible because of the Magistrate Hale's mask, yep. Right? So, but I'm not clear on whether this was dreamwalking or not, just because she sort of woke him up in the prison as she has in the past, and I'm just not really clear on it yet.
Yeah, it's not clear because they're saying dream with me, and so we're led to believe it's some type of dream or the consciousness or whatever, but then it turns out to be a physical act instead of a mental.
Maybe.
I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll pick up next episode.
That's the beauty of episode 13. Unlucky episode 13, last episode of the season. So, Sammy, a couple more questions for you, and then we get to predictions, which is good for all of us. but first things first, I guess, seeing this story arc develop for Dolly and seeing what's going on, I guess this is a little bit of a prediction for you, but what are you hopeful of second season? Has anybody, you don't have to give us spoilers, we're not allowed to know, but have you had conversations with anybody saying this is what to expect next year, or are you totally in the dark?
I'm totally in the dark. I mean, I have no idea. no idea. I don't. I would say something really cool, but I really don't. I'm hoping for a lot of really cool things that, like, want to say.
What would you like for your character? What would you hope for?
I mean, I'm hoping, I'm hoping to be, like basically, like, Mercy's Tituba, you know, type of thing. Like, her, like, little worker for her. Like, her right man, you know? But we'll see what happens.
I thought you were going to say you wanted to take over and run the Grand Rite yourself.
That would you're just gonna be number too, one. But actually, I'm hoping to get, you know, a guy on the show. I'm just kidding.
What about, we need to give you a love interest so it makes it difficult for the Grand Rite and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You got that bundling guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's burned. Where did he go? It's like, I know.
He's done.
For me.
What about, who is your favorite character on the show? It sounds like Elise. It sounds like Mercy. Maybe.
I have two. I have two. It would be Mercy and Cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're the coolest characters.
I'm the only one who likes Gloriana.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I
loved Gloriana, but she's gone. So it's like,
don't remind me. Okay, I cried a couple episodes ago.
Oh,
don't bring that.
He still has hope that
don't
she's
bring
coming
that
back.
Out again.
He's still sensitive right now.
You know, I love her costuming too. I'm sorry, but I was like, I would totally be okay with being a whore in the show just to have a cool costume like that. It's beautiful. It's so pretty. Sorry.
You mentioned wardrobe and makeup and stuff. How long did it take for, you know, you to get into your character?
No makeup, so it's like, you know, usually, well, I wear extensions for the show, longer hair, yellow teeth. Interesting fact, I have four fake teeth in the front, and you can't put the yellow stuff on the teeth because otherwise it'll stain it. So they can only do my front two teeth. So it kind of looks weird in some episodes because it's like it's just the two front teeth, and it's like, oh. But I don't think any of us really like the yellow teeth because it's kind of gross. But and you forget when you go home or you go to the hotel and you're like, you're smiling at people and walking and you go and look in the mirror and you're just like, oh my God, you're so embarrassed. But wardrobe, somebody has to get me into wardrobe every day because I have the corset, which is like so hard to breathe in because mine fits perfectly to me, and so it's just really, really tight, and I can actually, when you go to lunch, I have to get it loosened because I need to have some room for my lunch.
You need to breathe.
Yeah, it gets really intense with the wardrobe. It's awesome, though. I'm obsessed with, like, my cape this episode. I really liked my cape, like, a lot. I really liked my cape.
Can you campaign with them to be like, I'm going to take some of this home with me?
No. I've tried. Trust me. I have. No, I can't, unfortunately. Everything is so... I mean, I even had a bonnet for the bundling scene that was really old and just, like, this really pretty piece, and... unfortunately, it broke while we were in the middle of filming it, so we had to start back over a little bit and then film without it. So everything's really fragile and really, like, precise.
Imagine, especially during that time period.
Yeah.
What's it like filming in Shreveport? I know everybody talks about how hot it is, all that sort of stuff. You mentioned snakes on set.
Yeah. No, actually, it's beautiful. It's, you know, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it's fine. It's not. Okay. It's a really nice place. It's really hot. It's humid. It's also really cold when we film, you know, like in December. I think they said it was snowing a couple of days before I came. And when I came there, it was really hot outside, so I was really confused. And then there's a lot of tornado warnings right by my hotel.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's the Midwest.
It's really fun. Yeah, I'm not used to that at all. So we were driving, and there's just pouring rain. I'm with my driver, and she's like, yeah, well, if we have to pull over, you know, this is what you're going to have to do if there's a tornado. I'm like... Oh, my God. I was like, wait, is this even real? Like, I don't understand. This is crazy.
Welcome to the South.
It's a serious thing. It's
really scary.
It is.
And we, where we film, there's casinos, which I can't go into. And then there's a strip club, which I don't go into because that's just not really my scene.
You're not missing anything on either one.
And then there's set. And so that's about... Pretty much, I just stay in my hotel and watch like Food Network until it's time to go on set.
That's exactly what I imagined Shreveport being.
Yeah. And then the snakes aren't. I mean, I don't have a really like big fear for snakes. I mean, I don't really like necessarily love wild snakes coming past me because I don't know if they're poisonous or not. But I just remember we're filming and we're about to go, and then it's one of the scenes where I'm about to walk up to Mary to tell her I'm meeting Mercy in the graveyard, and we're about to go, and I just like look down and I just see like this black snake slithering on by right where I'm supposed to be going, and I'm like, snake, oh my God, that's a real snake, oh my God, and you just like, I was like, and then I just feel like a hand like squeezing me, and so like one of the other girls like squeezing me so hard because she's terrified of snakes, and so yeah, no, and they even. In the cat, like where we eat lunch, there's a big sign of different types of snakes. To like, this one's poisonous, this one's not, this one's venomous, this one's not, and like different things like that. And I'm not a spider person. Ooh. I don't like
talk to these two.
Yeah,
no. And we work with tarantulas quite a bit.
Yeah,
and like these orange tarantulas, which are okay. I'm not gonna lie, they're not. I don't like little spiders. I don't mind big spiders because like then I can see it. But it's like the little ones that I'm like, oh my God, where is it going? I don't understand. Like I don't know where it's going. And we had the animal dude come on set, and he's awesome because he's worked with everything. And he's like, yeah, you want to see them? And I was like, see what? And he's like, the little tarantulas. And I was like, they're in the car. And he's like, yeah. And he like pulls up this box. I'm like, I was sitting right next to this box. And he like pulls it out, and they're like all in their little containers. They're like these little hairy tarantulas. And they were like this big, and they're so gross. And they're sitting on the web in the scene that I was in. And it was, he kept on, like, having to pick it up to move it perfectly in to where it should be in the web. And I just remember, like, freaking out because I thought it fell. And I was like, oh, my gosh, where did it fall? I was like, it was a very emotional, intense day. And it was not supposed to be.
But it's a lot of anxiety.
It's a lot. Yeah. I'm sweating just thinking about it, you guys. Yeah.
No, you're listen. If you need to leave the room, these two probably do, too.
I'm right there with you.
I'm, like, trying to be polite because you're our guest. But I'm like, I hope she stopped talking about
it. Okay, yeah. Anyways, it's, yeah.
Back to Shreveport. Yeah. All right. Hey, well, I guess, you know what? We don't have any news and gossip today. Now, Sammy, being our guest of honor, if you'd like to give us any hot gossip from set, we sure would love it.
Oh, gosh. Oh, okay. If you say so. Let's think of gossip, shall we? No, honestly, we have the coolest casting crew. We really do. I mean, I just remember I was a big fan of Shane. I even told him, I was like, I love A Walk to Remember. It's such...
That's all we talk about.
Well, yeah, and he's so good. And it was just really refreshing to like be a fan of somebody and like have him be so nice to me, and now it's just like we're just like good friends, you know, like on set, and it's just he's just awesome. It's so cool. Like we'll text each other and like he like left me like a note when I went into ADR, like, hey Sam, it's Shane. I was like, thanks, Shane. I texted him. I was like, thanks for the note. So nice, you know? Just, like, a really cool person. And Elise is amazing. I'm actually going to grab dinner with her this week. And
oh, humble brag.
She's just so great. And I love the fact that her and I have become friends throughout this, you know, and just, like, and good friends. Like, I text her after every episode and be like, have you seen it? What do you think? And she'll be like, did you see it? Did you like it? You know, and it's fun to talk about it and then also be able to talk about ourselves and not just about work, you know, and right. Hang out. I mean, there's not much to do in Shreveport, so it's nice because I hang out with the girls and we'll go out and you know, it's a really fun group of people.
Yes.
I want to work on this set.
Yeah. Speaking of Elise, we actually have a fun photo from your Twitter, I believe, with you and Elise.
Which one? I tweeted a couple.
I think it was from last night, after okay, last yeah. night's mm-hmm. episode that, I mean, if we can get it queued up here.
Yeah. But, yes. Sweet. And if you can see in the background, that's Amber Dawn's legs. And if you see, there's burns around the ankles from when she just got tortured. Just a little, and just a little throw there.
Oh, yeah. You see it? Those girls had shackles on tonight.
Just another day at work. Burns on the legs, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've got many pictures. It's really cute.
So you say you hang out with the girls on set and stuff. What kind of fun things would you do in between, you know, scenes?
Go to Crafty. I'm just kidding. No. Eat junk food.
Are you guys the practical jokers? Like, be honest.
I mean, I am. But, I'm the baby on set. Everybody else is a lot older, which you wouldn't think. I mean, Elise, I think, is the next one up and around my age. She's 21. And then everybody else is a lot older. And so I'm kind of like the little like one who's like, you guys, let's go play. Let's go do this. Ah, ha, ha, you know? And everyone's like, oh my gosh. We'll go swimming and we'll hang out. And
this is the stuff you can get away with. You can get away with the jokes on set because you're the youngest one. And everybody's like, oh, it's just Sammy. It's cool. We got to be nice to her. If it was Xander Berkeley doing it, you'd be like, no, no, no. You know her.
Oh my gosh.
Get away with it while you can.
And I always like, I'm playing with, you know, like our PAs and stuff like that. Like I'm really good friends with a lot of them. And we'll go out to dinner and we'll just hang out, and it's nice, like I said, because Shreveport, not much to do, so it's like, I mean, there's like one dinner spot that we go to and that's about it.
That's so nice that you hang out with the PAs and everything. It's yeah. just like everybody's really a nice connected yeah. group.
Our wardrobe department's great. I'm like really good friends with like you know, everyone. I mean, the poor girl who has to, you know, get me in my outfit all day every day, we become really good friends, you know. And people who put yellow on your teeth, you become real tight.
Do you have a favorite scene or a favorite day from filming that you'd like to share with us?
Oh gosh, I feel like I've had so much fun. Like I really enjoyed the egg scene when I cracked the egg, and I see the skull and I toss mm-hmm. it out. That was the day of the bundling episode, and I had a lot of fun with that because it was just, I don't know, it was creepy and it was fun to crack an egg a bunch of times, but apparently I'm not a very good egg cracker. I haven't mastered that talent yet because they wanted me to break it with my bare hands, and I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but eggs are actually really difficult to break with your bare hands. So I'm like sitting there like, and they're like, okay, let's try that again, okay, just a little bit better this time. I'm like, sorry, like, you know, that I'm, like, trying to break in.
That would be hard.
It's really difficult to do. So they're like, okay, just crack it on the side.
Is that why you watch Food Network in your hotel all the time?
Yes, trying to master the egg crack, you guys.
I love it.
Hey, it's a real talent. Yeah.
Let's get to predictions, because I want to ask what else you're doing, because I know you've worked a ton. But let's do predictions first.
Oh, this is scary. This is scarier than Salem.
Oh, no, we're big time here. All right, so Sammy, let's give you the first prediction. You are our guest of honor, so if you want to do a season two prediction or something for next week, what's coming up?
Oh, gosh. Well, I kind of know what's going on next week.
Yeah, that's true.
So, can't really say that one.
Give us a little season two.
Season two predictions. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh, this is so intense. okay, let's say a nice little Mercy and Mary battle. Why not have a new Queen of the Night with the old Queen of the Night? Little button heads there a little bit, yeah? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Yeah. let's see, what else do I have in my head? Well, oh, gosh, I don't know. Kick some butt, get a nice little group together. Who knows who we're going to pick to be on our team? Who knows who's going to pick sides? Who's Anne going to pick? Is she going to pick a side? Is she going to have her own side? I mean, gosh, there's so many questions. There's so many people. There's a big town, you guys.
Here's the beauty of predictions. You can say whatever you want, because listen, 12 episodes in, I've been wrong about 10 times.
Okay.
So there's no pressure.
I want to hear your guys'. I want to hear it for next week.
Oh, yeah, that's good. No pressure. She knows.
Okay, well, I have to say that I think, you know, Anne's going to realize all the power she has, and she's going to accept what she is, and I think it's going to be a struggle. God, I'm going so elaborate here. It's a big struggle between Mercy and Mary, and who's going to be on teams, just like what you said, like, will Anne and Mercy be together? Will Anne be on Mary's team? I can honestly see Anne being Mary's team.
Really?
Yeah, just because of that whole thing that happened with Mercy and Mercy and Anne. Like,
in the graveyard, that thing was in the EF.
It's really weird.
So funny. She, like, grabs her hair and she's like, you want to stay, Anne?
There's a little Mean Girls action right there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think there's going to be a battle royale of witches, because we have... we had... Increase was reminding us that... Cotton doesn't understand the way these witches work, and they have all kinds of different factions, and sometimes they appear as little girls, and, you know, we have Mercy saying, go gather up all of the poor and the children, and we have Mary, who's sort of breaking away. We definitely have the old world witch, so I just think it's going to be like witch versus witch versus witch versus witch. That's what I think.
As it should be.
As it should be.
Yeah. I think there's definitely going to be a showdown between Mary and Mercy. Again, I'm going to say Mary is not going to go through the grand rite. I think Mercy's going to be the one who's going to try to execute it. I think Dolly is going to join Mercy's side and be, like you just said it verbatim, that she's going to be Mercy's Tituba. You know, they're going to pair up and be like the next, you know.
That would be fun.
The next powerful two new witches. And then also, I don't know, with John and Mary now, like, John now knows Mary. I think Mary, who knows? Honestly, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I'm glad you guys are sitting down, because I'm going to go big or go home on these predictions. And I know you'll probably be like, no, this is wrong. Okay. Don't say anything.
Okay, I'm going to bite my tongue.
But I think we don't know all of John's past. I think he's already a witch.
Whoa.
And we've never been led to see that. She's not even looking at me. She's like, this is so wrong. I think John is already a witch. I think that there's so much we don't know about him, and I don't know how he became it, but maybe we'll learn it. And when he asks the question of Mary, or however the scene goes down at the start of next episode, and he says, you know, you're a witch or whatever, and he learns that she is, he's going to say, me too.
Ooh.
In a perfect world, darling.
And there'll still be conflict, because obviously we have to have season two, so I'm not sure how that'll play out, but I think maybe something's going on.
No, that's a great prediction, actually, because of the way the medicine man took interest in him, and they brought in the coin, and Emily gave him the coin. I don't know. That's a good prediction,
Mary
actually.
Mary has the other half of the coin.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys are sitting down for it.
Yeah, and I'm into it.
Also, I think Anne's going to tap into her now newfound powers being a witch and maybe help stop the Grand Rite.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm. So, Sammy, tell me a little bit now, because you, for somebody so young, have had quite a career. You've been working for a long time. She looks nervous. No, this is where we get to brag about you. This is the best part.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
So we were joking about before, but Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. You were on Hello Sister, Goodbye Life, which you were nominated for a Young Artist Award for. Rizzoli and Isles, you guessed it on an episode. The Unit, Pushing Daisies for 6 episodes. A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. I believe. You've been working a lot. So what is coming up for you? Anything big on the horizon?
One of my shows, Chosen, just came out on Crackle. And it's really cool because they premiere a season at a time. So that was season 3, which had Michael Murray and Rose McGowan plays my mom. And that's a...
Also on Charmed, which you were a part. Were on Charmed for an episode.
I was. I know. And Rose does not remember me, unfortunately. But I mean, we talked about it a lot. And I was like... I was really excited to see her again because I was like, I worked with you when I was little, but she did so many episodes, you know.
Right.
But I was like, actually, you wrote me a letter. And she's like, I did. And I still have the letter. And I have a picture of her and I because I think I, like, sent her the picture. And she was like, it was so lovely working with you. Like, this really cute letter. And she was like, oh, that was so cute of me. I was like, yeah, that was so cute of you. But no, she's great. And that's a really fun show. It's a very it's a bit different but also dark. With, you know, lots of killings and lots of guns and
Do you prefer playing something like that or something like Salem, which is much darker, or the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody style stuff, which is not very dark? I mean, would you go each way, or what do you prefer?
I like the darker stuff. I like a more of a challenge, you know. I mean, although comedy is a bit of a challenge for me now, it wasn't when I was younger. When I was younger, like, Disney was so fun and so easy, and now I'm like... Now I've gone so much to drama that I went and did a movie called Mom's Night Out, which was a comedy, and it actually takes a lot of work to do comedy. Like, I forgot, like, how much it takes out of you, and I forgot, it's really fun. It depends, you know, like, when you're on set and you're doing a comedy, it just has this, like, light energy about it, whereas dramas, I mean, every now and then you have those days where you gotta just, like, keep it low because you know you got a big emotional scene later on or something like that. You know,
yeah.
with Chosen, we filmed it so quickly. We filmed it in a month. And almost all of my scenes, I'm bawling my eyes out because I'm like, you know, the loser sister who cries over everything. Because, you know? like, my family's, like, getting killed and stuff. So I have to cry.
I love that you're so casual about it. Now my family's getting killed, so I got to cry.
But I love it because at the end of the season, it's, like, the time when I wipe my tears and I'm like, we got to go kill him. And, like, I get my gun and I, like, you know, I, like...
See, there you go. It's in her personality. She's going to do it to Mercy, too. I'm telling you.
It's fun. How many times have I said that today? Oh, it's fun.
Good thing you're acting and not doing any of these things in real life. Do it on camera. Get it out of the way. Who is, like... You mentioned Chad Michael Murray. You're obviously working with Shane West and a bunch of other people on something like this. Do you have, like, a dream project to be on or an actor to work with? Or, I mean, what 5 years from now, what would you love to be doing?
Oh my gosh, 5 years from now, how old would I be? Okay. Well, I obviously would love to continue acting. I would love to be able to take on roles that really just push me into, like, a different world. Like, I don't know, I've always, like, had, like, a love for playing somebody, like, giving somebody justice is, like, one of my favorite things. Like, I've always actually wanted to play, like, a transgender role or somebody who like, has to deal with that. Something that would just take me a little bit out of my comfort zone and put myself in somebody else's shoes completely. That would be amazing. That would be so fun. I think that's why I love Mercy's character so much, is because that's, like, one of my dream roles, is to be somebody who's bipolar or dealing with something that is just, like, that they can't handle, you know? Like, that kind of role is, like the dream role. And so yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I would love to be doing something that challenges me and that I love and that I'm working with people who I can just, like, enjoy their talents as well.
Interesting. Talk to me a little bit about off camera. I know you are a Star Power Ambassador for Starlight Children's Foundation, I believe. What's going on with that?
Yeah, no, it's super fun. We get together every now and then. We have galas and get the kids there and hang out and kind of just have certain days where we'll go and get their mind off of all the things that are going on and just let them have, like, a really fun, great day. And you know, just, like, just hang out and be a kid and be, like, an actual kid. And yeah, I'm involved with a couple of charities that I'm really passionate about. I have, like, my, like, handful that I, like, would do everything for.
Well, shout them out. This is the time. Yeah, tell us about it.
Smile Train, I'm actually I am going to India soon.
Wow.
For a bit, and I'm going to help out with some of the surgeries there. And it's for cleft palates, for children who are born with cleft palates, or anybody, basically, and going in and teaching doctors how to take care of that, how to sew it up, how to do it. And so I'm really excited to be hands-on with it instead of just being like, yeah, I'm involved with a charity. Like, I really want to know what's going on, what goes into it. You know, I want to be able to see a child's face after the surgery. I mean, I've seen so many pictures, and like I said, I'm a very emotional person, and I love going to their place in New York. I like go look at the pictures of the before and after shots, and it's literally the day of, and it's just such a big difference, and so amazing. I'm really proud to be able to be a part of them.
No, that sounds amazing, and thank you for doing something like that, especially with your. Mm-hmm. Position obviously is a role model for people who see you on camera and see you doing the work that you do. It's important, and we've talked about it on stuff before about role models. I guess last question for me, I don't know if you guys have anything else, but have you had a welcome to Hollywood moment yet? Like, has anybody seen you out and been like, you're that girl from that thing? Have you had anything like that?
Yeah. I used to get that a lot for Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. I think the ones that really, like, shock me are when somebody says, Sammy Hanratty, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this person knows my first and last name. That's crazy to me. You know, I just, that part, like, I think it's really, like, unreal when people, you know, say, like, oh my gosh, you're the girl from blah, blah, blah. Like, that's amazing. But when you get somebody who actually knows your first and last name and, like, and knows what you've done and, like, are really excited to see, like, that kind of stuff makes me just, it's like, that's just out of this world. It's weird. It's crazy.
Well, get ready, right. Because when Dolly blows up in season two, you're going to have a lot more of that to do. And, of course, you'll remember us and come back for season two.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of people, you know, who get excited and stuff, is there anyone that you like to emulate in acting, like an actress or someone you look up to?
Yeah, no, I love, like, Jennifer Lawrence. Awesome. Amazing. She's amazing. I love Saoirse Ronan's one of my favorites. Oh my gosh, there are so many people that, like, I take from everything that I watch. I mean, Janet Montgomery is one of, like, she's fabulous. I love watching her, and I love taking from her, and just how everything with Mary is so subtle, but yet you see it all. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, and her pretty cry. Have you seen her pretty cry with the one tear that just falls? I'm like, oh, I want that. I want that pretty cry.
I love it. Hey, well, as we're wrapping up right now, we do social media links and stuff like that. So Twitter, Instagram, where can people find you?
Okay, Twitter, at Sammy Hanratty 1.
The number one. Because she isn't Sammy Hanratty number one.
No, it's because somebody stole my Twitter. and then Instagram, Sammy Hanratty 143. Vine is Sammy Hanratty 1, and Facebook, I have an official fan page, which is Sammy Hanratty.
143.
Yeah, for Instagram.
We'll link them all up on YouTube, too, if you're watching, so hit the comment ball below, and you can follow her.
Awesome.
But you guys.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Jessie Owen.
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Serafini TV.
And I'm on Twitter at Bobby DeMuro, on Instagram at Mr. Bobby DeMuro. Real quick as we get going, we didn't talk about it at the start, but Maria's new book is in stores, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, How I Lost 40 Pounds and Kept It Off, and How You Can Too, in Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and all those places. Sammy, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you.
Out. This was a lot of fun. Come back in season two when Dolly takes over in Salem, when you've killed everyone off. Just come back and be nice to us. All right, guys, that's it this week on Salem. Next week, we've got the season finale. It's going to make us cry. I don't want the show to end. But that's okay. We got one more week of this next Monday. Thank you for tuning in here on AfterBuzz. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.